You have your Bibles with you, and I invite you to turn me over to Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 14. Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 14, the King is coming. I invite you to stand with me if you're able, honor reading of God's Word. And he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age." And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom in various places, and there will be famines and earthquakes. But these things are merely the beginning of the birth pangs. And they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. And at a time that will fall, many will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will rise and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations. Then the end shall come." May God add blessing, reading his word, and may be seated. You know, we live in a difficult time. You know, we're watching our nation go to pot. We're watching all the mess going on with the impeachment trials. We're watching, you know, state after state that has legalized gambling. We're looking at states legalizing marijuana. Thousands of babies every year are aborted in this country. Gay marriages are legal throughout the nation. You're frowned upon if you try to remember the Civil War. People are dying at a record number due to opioid epidemic. North Korea promising to give America a gift on Christmas Day that we just dealt with. Many parts of the world, Christians are being killed for their faith. 20 veterans a day in America commit suicide. Our country is racially divided. There's always fighting going on in the Middle East. We experience somewhere between 12,000 and 14,000 earthquakes every year. There are over 1,000 soup kitchens in New York City, 2,700 in the state. But just in the city alone, every year 2 million people are served every day. Yet 2,600 a day are turned away hungry. It's estimated that 31 million Americans live in hunger. It's estimated that more money every year is embezzled from churches than goes to missions. It's estimated $16 billion every year is embezzled from churches, $15 billion goes to missions. One out of every three high school students will not graduate. In the United States, 130 kids every year die from bicycle accidents. This year, more people will declare bankruptcy than will graduate college. In North Carolina, 53% of the Latino population will be pregnant as a teenager. In any one day in America, 20 million people suffer from depression. There are about 40 active military conflicts going on around the world today. Happy New Year. Now that you're feeling good, thank you for coming. You know, our crime rate's terrible. Family problems are rampant. We live in a time of society decaying. But let me ask you something. What if it only gets worse? What if society continues to decline? What if the condition of our world continues to go down? You know, most people are optimistic. You know, we see the glass is half full. You know, we think, you know, that things will be better tomorrow and things can't be as bad as today. But what if things don't get better? Oh, now they may swing back and forth over the years with different generations. It may vary a little bit. But regardless of what happens, regardless of what tomorrow may bring, regardless of what the new year may bring, there is some encouragement. because there's a purpose behind everything that we deal with. There's a purpose behind everything that is going on in our nation and in our world today. There's a reason for the bad times. There's a reason for the suffering. There's a reason that we live in a world that is topsy-turvy, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. Here in our verses, you know, Jesus is leaving the temple. You know, he's worshipped, he's preached, he's taught, he's sung praises. You know, he's leaving the temple there, and they're going out with his disciples, and they're heading down the road. And Jesus, as they're walking there, the disciples are beginning to think. They may be thinking about what they heard in the temple, may have been thinking about what Jesus has said that day or preached on that day, may have been thinking about the times that they have spent with him. But whatever it is, the end times are on their mind. They're beginning to wonder about that day that Jesus Christ will come back. And as they're walking along there, they get to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus decides they're going to take a break, and they sit down for just a minute, and the disciples are coming up to Jesus there as Jesus is sitting there catching his breath, and they're kind of kicking the dirt around and said, "Jesus, tell us about the end times. Tell us about when you're coming back. You know, if you told us you're going to leave and you're going back to heaven, you know, we don't understand all of that. But Jesus, begin to explain to us about how history is going to unfold, how things are going to play out. Tell us about the second coming. Jesus, tell us what to expect when we're looking forward to you coming back. What are some of the signs? What should we know that your coming is near?" First thing he tells them there is tough times must happen. Tough times must happen. Go back to verse number 6. "And you'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end." The time between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension to heaven until the day that he comes back for the church is going to be defined by difficult times, not only for the world, but particularly for Christians. It's going to be a tough time globally. Wars, rumors of wars, people starving, earthquakes, famines. And it's natural to happen. Because the world, once Jesus Christ, right before he goes back to heaven, the world has just told its creator, "We don't want you here. We have no room for you. We don't want a relationship with you." They nailed him to the cross to take his life from him. And ever since then, the world has been declining. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 7 says, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom in various places, and there will be famines and earthquakes." Jesus says there to his disciples, this is what is going to be going on in the days before I come back. He says, look at the headlines. Keep your eyes open. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, it says, "But realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although that they have denied its power, and avoid such men as this." How many of these characteristics do we see daily? Not only when we turn on the TV, not only pick up the newspaper, but when we interact with people, how many of these characteristics do you come in contact with on a regular basis? Paul tells Timothy there that people are going to love themselves more than others. People are going to be saying, you know, a sign of the end times is people saying, you know, it's got to be my way. It's got to be done the way I want to do it. You know, it's about what I want rather than what somebody else wants. Paul tells Timothy there that the end times will be signified by people with the loving money more than they love anything else. You know, we just went through one of the big headlines for the year was the big college scandal admissions, you know, with some of the celebrities. As I mentioned there, In the opening illustration, you know, every year more money is embezzled from churches than goes to mission work. You know, Paul says there that the end times are going to be signified by people that love money more than they love God. Paul says there that people will be arrogant. People will be boastful. They'll be disrespectful children. He says there are people without self-control of any type. He says there'll be gossips. There'll be unloving people. Paul is telling Timothy there that the end times are going to be defined by people that love themselves more than they love God. That they love what they want their way more than they love Jesus Christ himself. And you can look around on any Sunday and see proof of that. You can look around on any given Sunday, any time that worship is going on, and you can see proof of that, that people are more concerned about themselves, are more concerned about what they want to be doing, more concerned about what the world has to offer, more concerned about other things that are going on than they are worshiping God. The evidence is always there. Paul tells Timothy there that at the coming of Christ, things are going to get difficult. Things are going to be difficult even in the relationships that we have with other people. As you go through there, if you see those characteristics that Paul lists there, that's downright depressing. That's downright depressing as Paul is writing to Timothy. He's pastoring the church there. He's not talking about mission work there. He's talking about inside of the church. He's saying there, Timothy, this is what the end times are going to be signified by these types of attitudes. Things are going to be difficult. But hold on, because Jesus Christ is coming back. And as we read through those verses there, that's enough to make anybody go crazy. That's enough to make anybody want to go in the house and lock the doors and pull the blinds and pull the plug on the TV and cancel all the mail. But Paul is trying to explain to Timothy the same thing that Jesus is trying to explain to his disciples there on the Mount of Olives as they're sitting there talking. He said, things are going to be difficult. Things are going to be tough, but I want you to hold on because I'm coming back for you. The days leading up to Jesus' return are going to be characterized by good versus evil, right versus wrong. The days before the eastern sky splits open are going to be defined by Satan riling up people, Satan trying to get people to have their way. Now, I probably a lot like you have thought a lot about the second coming of Jesus particularly over the last few weeks. I think I've done about 6 funerals in the last month and a half, and anytime you go down to the graveside, the funeral directors always say, you know, like, this is the head end, because the head end is always facing east, because when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to split the eastern sky open, and when those graves burst open, they'll be looking at Jesus, and that's the day that each and every one of us should be looking forward to. A day that we don't have to worry about the things that we have to worry with and deal with the things that we have to deal with here. Because we don't have to look far to see examples of what Paul and Jesus is talking about here. Murder, people being robbed, prayer taken out of schools, 10 commandments taken out of the courthouses, evolution being taught, kidnapping, missionaries being killed. All of this going on in this world, Jesus says, is the sign that times are winding down. I think I've mentioned him before. I'm not sure, but I got a friend in Sri Lanka. We've been dealing with both in the puppet ministry for a long time, and I'll send him supplies every once in a while, and he says there in Sri Lanka, you know, the Christian population is very small, and he told me, you know, one of the biggest things that the Christian church is having to deal with there in that country is Buddhist monks killing Christians. And Jesus says there in verse 13, you know, hold on. Regardless of what the world may throw at you, regardless of what may come up in your life, Jesus says, hold on. Because I'm coming back for you. Jesus says, hold on, things are going to be difficult, things are going to be tough, you're going to feel like you're at the end of your rope and want to give up. But Jesus Christ says, hold on. Don't let any of this get you down. Jesus says, don't forget about what's getting ready to happen. Jesus says, don't forget about the next big thing on God's calendar. Don't freak out when bad things happen, because a lot of them are the signs of Jesus' return. Don't be alarmed. Don't despair. Don't worry, because Jesus says, I am coming back for you. Over in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus says, hey, yeah, things are going to be difficult. Things are going to be trying. But Jesus says, through the midst of all of it, for my children, I am preparing a place for you. Hold on. I'm preparing a better place for you to be able to go and not have to worry about the things we have to deal with here. Second thing we'll look at this morning is the beginning of the end. The beginning of the end. Verse number 8. But all of these things are merely the beginning of the birth pangs. Jesus says here that all of these things are going to hurt for a while. All of these things are the beginning of this world getting ready to see the Messiah come back. Things are going to be depressing. Things are going to be challenging. But there is good news, and the good news is it is the beginning of the end. The beginning of the birth pangs. Your birth pangs aren't all that bad, are they? I've been through 2 childbirths. Piece of cake. I mean, all the hollering Susan was going on was kind of a downer during the process, but, you know, other than a couple of aspirins to deal with the headache afterwards, you know, it wasn't so bad. But they're painful. And Jesus is explaining to the church there, it's going to be difficult. You know, from time that I go back to heaven to the time that I come back for you, it's going to be difficult. But he says, church, it's time for the final push. Don't give up. Don't give in to despair, to evil, or to desperate times. Jesus says there, it is time to focus and to endure the birth pains and make that one final push. When you're having the baby, the pediatricians, you know, assure you that it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt for a while, but then it's going to get better. When you finally get to hold that baby, you forget about all the hurt. When you get to smell the smell of a baby shampoo, when you get to get the little bitty socks that you'll be able to slide on the feet there. Once the baby is cleaned up and you see that smiling face, you forget about everything that you had to go through. Once you get to see that baby sleeping peacefully in your arms, once you get out of the hospital and get to go home and to be a family, you forget about all those birth pains. There's coming a time, Jesus says, I'm going to wipe away every tear. Jesus says, there's coming a day through a relationship with me, then I'm going to wipe away the sadness. I'm going to wipe away what you've had to deal with. I'm going to wipe away all of this anguish that you've had to deal with. And Jesus says, there's coming a day when you're going to celebrate with me through a relationship with me, through having me as your Lord and Savior, that I am preparing a place for you, and you're going to forget about all this mess you've had to deal with and realize it was all worth it. When we're finally able to be held by Jesus, and finally get to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. We're going to forget about how bad things were here. And the final push, Jesus says, I'm going to wipe away every tear. Beloved, these are the birth pangs we deal with. These are the birth pains of the return of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that tough times are going to happen. They're guaranteed. But the good news is they're the beginning of the end. Beloved, we're in the final hours of history. As I've been saying over the years now, that the return of Jesus Christ is the next big thing on God's calendar. No other prophecies have to be fulfilled. Nothing else has to happen before Jesus Christ comes back. Paul tells us to finish our race, for us to hold on, for us to not give up, that Jesus is preparing a place for us. We're a few pushes away from the delivery, a few brief ticks of God's clock before Jesus Christ comes back. And beloved, as bad as things may get, hold on. Don't lose hope. This is the final push. And as discouraging as the world news is, and Jesus says, don't give up. I'm coming back for you, for those that love me. Now, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't have anything to look forward to. If you do not have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is as close to heaven as you'll ever experience. If you have never repented of your sins and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, things are going to get worse, a whole lot worse. But if we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Jesus says, hold on. This is the beginning of the end. You're going to experience some difficult times, but Jesus says, hold on. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 29, and while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus says, when everything is said and done, Jesus says, when I come back for you, I'm going to partake of the Lord's Supper, communion, Passover once again. But Jesus says, until that day, I'm not going to do it. But Jesus says, up until that day, you keep doing it in remembrance of me. You keep doing it to remind yourself of the sacrifice that I've made for you. Keep doing it in remembrance of the fact that I'm coming back for you. And one day I'm looking forward to sitting around the table and doing this one-on-one with you. Will you pray with me? Father, we are thankful for that blessed assurance that your Son is coming back for us. Father, we're thankful, Lord, even though we have to deal with the things that we have to deal with here, Lord, that through repenting of our sins, through asking Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, Lord, that this is the closest to hell that we'll ever have to experience. And Lord, what a blessing that is. And Father, we're just thankful for that place that your Son is preparing for us even now. And Lord, we just ask that encourages us, Father, that it uplifts us, Lord, and helps us to endure what we have to endure, Lord, until he comes back for us. And we pray all things in Christ Jesus' Savior's name. Amen. I'm going to ask deacons if they'll join.